The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Boy, it's a Chamber of Commerce morning out there, man.
Not too shabby. Got some thunderstorms in the forecast, potentially this afternoon. Could be severe, but we'll keep you posted because we are, of course, the voice of St. Louis.
That's right. And, John, oddly enough, today's the last day of the legislative session in Missouri.
It's done, buddy.
But guess what? They ended yesterday.
Yeah.
Unheard of. I can't ever recall a session ending early.
Well, the 15th was the target date, and a lot of things happened. This was a very...
No, they had till... Didn't they go till Friday night?
They used to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway... A very productive legislative session, and joining us to talk about it is State Representative from Chesterfield, District 101, Representative Ben Keithley. Ben, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's good to be a day early and still have plenty of work to show for the people of Missouri.
Yeah, a lot of stuff got done, and that's typical, the first session after a gubernatorial election. Governor Kehoe's top priority was his ability to appoint 4 of the 5 members of the St. Louis City Police Board. Do you consider that the biggest accomplishment this past session?
Well, I think there were things that were certainly maybe bigger lifts to get through, evidenced by, you know, needing a couple PQs in the Senate. But I think there's quite a few big accomplishments. It's hard to pick one out. But that was certainly always, I think, for most myself and a lot of other St. Louis area reps and senators, that was always has always been a priority for a while. So to see that get done and have that get done early in session was great.
And there were some other public safety related legislation to pass as well.
Yes, yeah, a lot of good increased standards, just things that'll make it easier, streamlining police, helping for police retention, and attracting new police officers to our state. A lot of important measures. Public safety is something we really got to improve. We know that, especially on this side of the state. It's holding us back economically and really affecting quality of life. So it was a priority for me. It was a priority for a lot of us and a lot of significant movement on it. I was happy to see.
Representative, you made reference to the use of a procedural movement in the Senate, rarely used, to call the question and force the two issues to go back to the ballot that the voters just voted on and supported and passed. What was the logic of the representatives and wanting to go back and try to overturn what the voters have already passed?
Well, it's always tricky with ballot initiatives. And I'd say it's saying overturning what the people pass. I mean, it always has to go back. It has to go back to the people, particularly when we're talking about the Amendment 3 adjustments that have been made. There's no over the people are going to have to make the ultimate decision anyway. Anything we did still has to go back to the people. They'll still have their say. But the problem with ballot proposals is people don't see everything that's in them. We produce sometimes, you know, 30 and 40 pages worth of initiative petitions and referendums. We go to the voters and they have to decide what is in those pages and pages in just 50 words. The summaries aren't always the greatest for alerting the voters to everything. It's hard to really see how the full impact's going to be. In this case, I think those two proposals left the state in a way where I think there were a lot of unintended consequences that the voters were not made aware of properly in the ballot language. And so adjustments need to be made in both those bills.
One of the other big focuses of the legislative session is the budget. This year's budget had some constraints, is there any major changes in the budget that are going to affect the daily lives of Missourians?
Well, one big change I was happy to see was the increase in the empowerment scholarship numbers. We took that to $50 million successfully. That was a big showdown between the House and the Senate. Happy to see the House position win out on that and make more scholarship opportunities available for students and increase educational choices for families and students throughout Missouri.
A lot of focus on education as well this session. Now, the open enrollment bill, which would have allowed public school districts who are willing to accept non-resident students, give them the ability to do so. That did not pass, but you did pass some pretty significant reforms, including fully funding the state's foundation formula.
Right, and that's a big increase to the foundation formula over that time from Senate Bill Andrew Koenig, Senate Bill 727 last year. A lot of changes to the foundation formula resulted in a much more difficult path to really fully funding it, but we were able to do that in this year's budget, along with that increased empowerment scholarship money I just talked about. But a lot of other good pieces that got through, a lot of good protections and expansion of rights for homeschooled students, allowing them to participate in extracurriculars and athletics. I myself had a expansion of the recovery high school program that'll hopefully add to some more options to make sure students don't have to leave, our high schoolers don't have to leave school for other reasons. There were a lot of good small stuff, big stuff that happened on the education front. Wish we could have gotten open enrollment, but some other great stuff happening.
Well, maybe next year. That's State Representative Ben Keithley from Chesterfield, District 101. Thanks so much for spending some time and informing us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll be back for another segment of Radio Bliss here on the Voice of St. Louis, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Blink and you'll miss it. And boy, have we had a very fast week this week, John. And it was started in a very sad way, and that was the loss of former Senator Kit Bond.
Yeah, close friend. And just very, very sad. The Kit was... we won't see his ilk again, I don't think, in Missouri politics.
Well, he was a decent man. I've got to tell you, I spent most of my life fighting Kit Bond and working in campaigns against him. He was always kind, decent, polite to me. Sent me notes over the last couple of years as he was retired. A man who was extremely passionate about his belief system. But I'll tell you what, particularly in the St. Louis area as it relates to public housing, and transit, Kit Bond was one of the champions as a Republican fighting for the urban areas. That is a mark on his belt for sure.
Yeah, so many. And, you know, you talk about fighting against him. He won his first two Senate races in the most challenging Republican environments you can imagine. 1986, Ronald Reagan's midterm, second midterm, and Reagan's numbers were in the tank. And the Democrats took control of the Senate that year. And Kit Bond was the only Republican in the country who won a Senate seat that had been held by a Democrat. The only one in the country. A very tough cycle. Then he comes to his reelect, and it's 1992. You've got Ross Perot on the ballot, so George H.W. Bush gets 38% in his reelect. The Missouri's governor's candidate that cycle, a guy named Bill Webster, remember him? Mm-hmm. He was on his way to prison. He got 39% of the vote. And the entire Republican ticket went down to defeat, except for Kit Bond, who won his race. And you can't imagine two more challenging cycles to persevere through. And he defeated Jay Nixon for the Senate the next time up.
Right. His legacy still lives today. The F-15 being built here in St. Louis is still being built almost 50 years after it started. It was going to go down a couple of years ago, and it was Kit Bond who helped save it. So there are jobs that are still working as a result of Kit Bond.
Hey, the Parents as Teachers program that he started when he was governor of Missouri. I mean, you can't think of a more consequential public servant that has been in this state and has done and accomplished the things that Kit Bond did. And it's there's going to be a tribute for him coming up next week in Jefferson City. And there's going to be a memorial service here in St. Louis as well.
And you should expect to see people from both sides of the aisle at that memorial
Without
service.
Question.
He's just a good man. I don't know that we're going to have that type of politics in Missouri much anymore. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's hope. Hey, John, what about President Trump on his second international trip? He chose to go to the Arab states where his family businesses are working hard. This with the backdrop of the negotiations for some type of peace potentially in Russia and Ukraine. But Russia didn't really send anybody. It appears as though that's stuck in the mud and the president's over in the sand.
Yeah, well, of course, the Middle East is also a hot spot. You've got the Israel-Hamas conflict going on. He did announce some, I think, encouraging plane sales to some of our countries. You know, the Middle East has always been a very sticky political wicket because those regimes there that we need for support and have needed for oil are not particularly desirable regimes. I'm thinking about Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, all three countries that President Trump visited. But we've had, at least going back to the 1970s and 80s, we've had strategic relationships with them to protect against some of the more extreme Islamic views that exist in that region as well. And so it's a tricky diplomatic relationship, to say the least.
And Vladimir Putin continues to soft sell some type of ceasefire and end to this war.
He's not going to end it. I don't think he's going to have any interest in ending that conflict. And look what Putin's done here. He's taken some territory. It's been a little. It's been at a very high cost in terms of money and troops for Putin. And he's, you know, because he's a dictator, he doesn't have to worry about domestic public opinion. And what he's really done in the process of all of this is he's in the process of dividing the West, seeing NATO, the European members of NATO, being much more involved and aggressive in supporting Ukraine now than is the United States. And that's a win for Vladimir Putin.
While the president has his issues with our world adversaries, he has trouble with his own party right now on passing that big, beautiful bill, John. The big tax cuts, the big changes to government that he wants to implement. Some hardline senators are saying, man, we're not going to go along with this. And this is one of the staples of what Donald Trump said he was going to bring.
Well, it adds $5 trillion to the U.S. debt. That's the most addition to the annual deficits, the greatest addition to the U.S. debt ever. And so some senators, like a Rand Paul, they say, I'm not voting for this. And you would think, with all of the splendor and exciting announcements from Doge, that adding $5 trillion to the federal debt is incongruent. And, you know, so where are those savings? And that's what Rand Paul and others are asking.
Yeah, and that legislation stuck in the mud. The president's got that coming up soon. He wants to deliver it. He's got a problem inside of his own caucus. It will be interesting to see how it shakes out. John, I feel like we're watching somebody run for president.
Next door?
Right here, Josh Hawley. Boy, this guy seems to be putting together some new messaging for the Republican Party. I know we look in crystal balls. You were so right in your crystal ball saying that Joe Biden wasn't going to be the nominee.
Yep.
I got to tell you, my crystal ball says that Josh Hawley's running for president.
Well, he well could be, and you're right. I mean, the guy has carved out a very unique niche. And, in fact, he may end up voting against this budget bill, too.
Right.
And he's got a very strong populist message, very focused on working class Americans. And if you look and see the direction that the Republican Party's gone, he's talking to the voters, the folks that are going to show up in caucuses and primaries. That's going to be one to keep an eye on.
He's fighting for Medicaid to continue to come to Missouri while other Republicans are trying to gut it. He's making alliances with organized labor. It's very interesting. That's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. The Hancock and Kelly Show continues with Amy and Chris.